Swiss Cybersecurity Days Talk. Powered by Handelszeitung.
Welcome to today's episode, recorded live at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days. I'm Tobias Boltern, and joining me is Mike Mullane, Deputy Director of Communications at the International Electronic Commission, IEC. Mike has an extensive background in strategic communications and plays a key role in shaping global standards for cybersecurity as a vice chair of the Collaboration on Standards for Authenticity of AI and Multimedia. He is at the forefront of efforts to combat deepfake technology and restore trust in digital content. Today we will explore the growing threat of deepfakes and how international standards can help build resilience in the digital world. How do we stay ahead of evolving cyber threats? What role do global standards play in securing our online environment? And is it still possible to trust what we see and hear in the age of AI? Let's dive in. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
When I hear standards, maybe some people as well, they think bureaucracy. Maybe expert committees, a little bit dry topic. What would you respond to people who believe standards don't play an exciting role in our daily lives?
I'd answer that standards cover a huge amount of their daily lives that they're not even aware of. There's hardly anything around you that isn't based on a standard, whether it's the microphone in front of my mouth now, even your glasses, the soundproofing on these walls, everything is based on standards. Standards are making the world not only a safer place, but also a more efficient place. Because when we have standards, that means that global trade functions, because different countries recognize standards and they know that they can trust a device made in Switzerland if they're purchasing it in the US or Australia. So it's about creating a network of trust in the devices and products that you buy.
Mm. You work at the IEC. This organization is based in Geneva. For people who don't know, what exactly does the IEC do?
Yeah, IEC is the International Electrotechnical Commission. We prefer to abbreviate that to IEC for obvious reasons. We were founded in 1906, so we've been around for a very long time. And I see a lot of parallels between what happened in 1906 and now, because back in 1906, the equivalent of AI was this amazing new technology called electricity. And people in different countries decided that the only way to keep this technology safe and trustworthy was to start creating standards around it. And that was the initial drive for creating the IEC. Fast forward, of course, and now we find ourselves in a similar situation with AI that, like electricity 120 years ago, is affecting every aspect of our lives. AI is all around us, and we need people to come and sit together and work together to make sure that it does what we want it to do. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. The IEC is in 170 countries around the world. This isn't about developed countries telling the rest of the world this is how you do it. This is about as many people participating as possible, developed and developing countries. We share an AI standards committee with ISO. And what I think the fantastic thing about that committee is that countries that perhaps you wouldn't expect to be interested and passionate are. So we have African countries like Congo, who are participating in our standardization work, because a lot of developing countries see AI and other emerging tech as a way of closing the gap with the more advanced developed world. And if they can have a say in how the standards are developed, then they're more sure that it's going to meet their needs as well.
Mm. Here at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days, you talked about deepfakes, so faking of audio and or video of a person with the help of AI. Which deepfake case has personally shocked you the most and why?
There are too many. I mean, shock is a powerful word, and unfortunately, sometimes deepfakes do provoke strong emotions. I think of the deepfakes of involving the faces of real children in paedophilia. A whole village in Spain last year found that. Children there had been targeted by people behind deepfakes. Everybody talks about AI, but it's not AI that creates deepfakes. It's people who use the AI to create deepfakes. So a lot of shocking stories, but also what we see, and this brings us more into the cybersecurity area, is deepfakes are increasingly being used for social engineering attacks, for spear phishing attacks. I told the story during my presentation of the finance manager in Hong Kong who received a call from his chief financial officer, his CFO, who asked for $25 million to be transferred into a bank account. He initially said, "I need more than that." And so he was invited to join a deepfake video call, including the deepfake CFO and fake members or deepfake members of staff who discussed the investment. And at the end of this, he was so convinced that he parted with $25 million.
So not only real risks, but also real money that can be lost.
Absolutely.
But you also said previously, deepfakes can be fun. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I gave the example of President Macron using deepfakes to publicize the summit that finished a few days ago in France, and it was a fun sort of collage of images. The French president with long hair, you know, acting as a social media influencer, clips from MacGyver and films and things. So fun. And it was fun because it was approved by Macron, something that he wanted. And it was a much lighter way, a much more engaging way of publicizing that event than just launching into a list of speakers or topics that would be covered at the conference. Deepfakes are about creating memes, and so long as they don't hurt people, and so long as you have people's permission or understanding to make those memes, I see no problem with deepfakes. The problem is one of authenticity and provenance. If I know something is a deepfake, then I can enjoy it at face value. If I don't know, then it can be used for less benign purposes.
Mm. There, the IEC also comes into play. What is your plan? What is the strategy that we can see a deepfake as a deepfake? How are we going to tackle this problem in the future?
Right. So we, firstly, as the IEC, we realized some time ago that the challenges that we face globally, whether it's climate change, you know, extreme weather, AI governance, or indeed deepfakes, these are such huge problems that we can't face them alone. We need collaboration on a global scale, because these are not Swiss problems, they're not European problems, they're global problems. And to address global problems, you need to have global collaboration. This is why when our Secretary General sat down with his opposite numbers at ISO and ITU last year, they agreed on working more closely together around AI in general, and that's covering all aspects of AI. And as a kind of result of that, we began a collaboration on deepfakes. We're a collaboration of NGOs and private companies of a diverse and broad stakeholder group, and we're working together to do principally two things. The first is rather than creating new standards, because believe me, there are a lot of standards already out there competing for attention, we thought that the most useful thing that we could do would be to what we call map those standards. So to look for examples of standards proactively, asking the organizations behind some of those standards to share their work with us, to discuss their work with us. And so far, we've identified around 30 standards that tackle different aspects of deepfakes, whether it's provenance, authenticity, watermarking, different aspects of deepfakes. And we've categorized those, and we're now working towards a white paper that will present an overview of what we already have. And the idea of that is to highlight what's missing. What standards do we need that we don't already have? So rather than just going out there and duplicating somebody else's work, we're trying to encourage standards development organizations to work together and to address the gaps. And that's the first thing. The second thing is about policy and regulation. Standards are voluntary, but very often they're adopted into national, regional, international regulation. And we want to ensure that when policymakers, when regulators sit down, they're aware of the standardization work that's already out there that will save them time and, we believe, give them a more effective tool to use to combat this problem.
Mm. I think we all know this can be a slow and tedious process. Do you think we will, or how realistic do you see that we will keep up with deepfake technology, or will we always be one step behind?
Technology evolves at a very fast pace, and one of the criticisms about standardization sometimes is that it takes too long, 3 years to produce a standard on average, and in that time the argument goes that technology has moved on. I'd answer that in that criticism in a couple of ways. I mean, and the first is very obvious. The strength of international standards is that they're based on consensus. We're present in around 170 countries around the world, and those 170 standards, 170 countries use IEC and ISO IEC standards, because they're part of the process, and they trust standards that reflect their needs and their views as well. So that's the first thing. Don't knock time if it achieves consensus. The second thing is that standards aren't the only tool that we have, so to speak. We have other kinds of publication, whether it's technical reports or specifications, technical specifications that we can produce much more quickly than standards. The other point I'd really like to make is that standards and this goes for cybersecurity as well, standards are less strong when they talk about specific software or specific software products. They're powerful when they take a step back and they look at processes and technologies that are adopted in different ways, and they tell you not which product or which software you need to invest in, but what kind of technology solution you need to address the challenges that you're facing. And we do update these publications regularly. We're also working on an exciting new product to digitalize the whole product. At the moment, standards are primarily PDF documents. You sit down, read it, and then you interpret it and then apply it. We're now turning those into a database of standards that are tagged, organizations, businesses can go in and take out bits of standards or whole standards or combinations of standards to address their specific needs. So this is another way that we're adapting to meet the changing landscape.
Mm. One of those standards is ISO 21617, also known as JPEG Trust. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit what exactly it is, how does it function, and what role it kind of plays in the big picture?
Yeah, this is I noticed that one of the other speakers at this conference is a great guy called Turaj Ebrahimi. And if you want a really detailed understanding of what JPEG Trust does, then you really should ask him. I'll say in very broad terms that it's about enabling people to recognize whether a JPEG image is real or fake, what degree of trust you can have in it. And the idea is that not all manipulated media is bad. We don't want to stop deepfakes. We don't want to stop media that's been manipulated for benign purposes. We want to help people to recognize it as such. So that's really the idea behind JPEG Trust.
If you look into the future, what specific advice would you give, say, a young person about dealing with AI-generated content?
I think it's really important that that technology in general becomes much more of the school curriculum, that young people are educated in digital literacy. Unfortunately, it's something that I don't see happening now, and I think that's why so many of us are susceptible to technology used by rogue actors. Our kids don't have the help and the training that they need to deal with it.
Thank you, Mike Mullane, for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
And thank you, our audience, for tuning in to this special episode from the Swiss Cybersecurity Days. If you enjoyed the discussion, don't forget to subscribe, and until next time.